Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, come on. 8:30 was better than that. Good morning. That's better. The announcements were up, couple to highlight. We are still collecting for the Wallendahl family with their troubles with their house and their housing. There are some unlabeled offering envelopes back there. If you wish to leave cash or a check, please put Wallendahl on the envelope so that we can designate it to the proper area. We have several things coming up. Choir is going to be rehearsing back and forth, which is going to be nice to hear them. Council meeting on the 18th. November 30th, 9 till noon, I believe. We're going to try to get the church looking very festive for the Advent season. The more hands, the better. I realize we're coming in after Thanksgiving and deer hunting and all that, but hey, we're just talking a couple hours. Lots of giggles, lots of laughs. We need people to sign up for the Advent lighting. We need little people to keep coming to Sunday school to practice for the Christmas program. Bell ringing, Alana knows.
Yeah, I have a couple spots available. I'm not sure if someone signed up already for after the 8:30, but we have an opening from 4 to 6 on the 22nd or 2 to 4 on the 23rd. And then also, please get your poinsettia orders in by Wednesday. If you can't do it in person, just call and let me know what you want, and I'll mark you down.
And anybody else have something we need to share with? I know Becky's got some things, and Becky's going to be kind of busy today, which is going to be nice, and then I don't have to fill in.
Good morning. We are selling UCC t-shirts to raise money to help cover the expense of the Faith Formation retreats. Please stop by the table in the fellowship hall. All the information is on the table, and you can turn your orders in by December 1st if you would. If you make out a check, please put t-shirt order in the memo line and just make it out to the church. The Giving Tree. Amber McLean reached out to me just this past Friday, so we're kind of a little slow start here, but we're going to do a gift card only Giving Tree this year. So you can pick up gift cards of any denomination from any of the stores that you think would benefit families in need, and then put them in an envelope, or you can turn in money and then just mark the envelope for the Giving Tree, and we'll make sure we pick up the gift cards for you. The Christmas program, we're looking for someone to play the Dad King. It's a story about the King family who gets lost in a snowstorm and seeks refuge in a church. And we need someone to play the part of the dad. It can be a male or a female playing that part. But we are looking for one, so if you like to act and you're interested, there are quite a few speaking parts. However, no memorization is necessary. It'll all be scripted for you, and you'll just be reading those parts. And then today, during children's time, I'm going to tell you about this stack of books up here. And if I could have the shepherds come up for two reasons today, the shepherds, not only to get the message because you're receiving the books, but also to help me hand them out to the kids as we conclude the children's time. Thank you.
And those t-shirts look rather nice. They've got a nice logo. So if you're doing a lot of things with the church, it would be good, dare I say the secular word, advertising, so that people know that who you're representing while you're at someplace. Last service, Becky talked about, you know, it's either they need a person or you can persuade a person. I just want to reiterate what I told them last service, that if you are persuaded to do this part for this program, if your arm is twisted to it, it's pained, or they offer you money, the church is at all not liable for that. That's up to the person that convinced you. Couple things. This is a United Church of Christ church, and our belief here is that you are welcome no matter where you are in your journey with Christ and no matter who you are. And I forgot something vital that this gang always loves to do that last Sunday, we have the passing of the peace. Please feel free to get up, say hi, exchange peace with one another, keeping in mind certain people don't necessarily want to be touched or hugged or whatever, but there's several of us who love it too. So please, pass the peace with each other. Good morning, sir. Nice glasses. Good morning. Morning. Boy, you raised big kids. I forgot that that guy was your son. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Please stand for the call to worship. It's adapted from Samuel 2. Hannah was an important female figure in the Old Testament. She was the mother of the prophet Samuel and played a crucial role in the early history of ancient Israel. So let us pray as Hannah prayed. Hearts are filled with the Lord. Our strength is in God. God is our rock. Through God, we are given knowledge. We are actions. The Lord will guard our footsteps. We are truly blessed by the Holy One. In the opening prayer, everyone please say, Heavenly Father, we gather before you today with grateful hearts, asking you to be with us. Allow us to open our hearts and minds to you. May we be filled with your wisdom and understanding. We pray for peace and compassion to enter into the world. May your love shine through us as we worship and continue to shine through us the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated.
And if Becky, the little people, and the shepherds would come up, please. And we'll let Becky tell everybody where they need to be and what's going on.
All right. Sit anywhere you can find a spot. All right. Look at this. The whole crew is up here. It's always nice when the whole crew shows up. Okay, all right, let's see. I brought this so that I could use my hands. So, can you still hear me? All right. How many of you enjoy a good book? How many? Can you show hands? Enjoy a good book? When I was a kid, I liked books with lots of pictures. You like books with lots of pictures too? Yeah, more pictures the better. Well, not you older ones. You guys are like ready for novels. Okay. Well, today, each of your families is going to receive two books. Okay. You're going to receive "Twas the Season of Advent" and "Twas the Evening of Christmas." Okay. They are full of pictures and full of rhyming verses, and it just makes it fun to read, fun to listen to, and it tells us all about the story of Jesus' birth. The Advent book is like a prayer book. It lists like devotions and has like day one, day two, December 1st, December 2nd, right up through Christmas Eve. And then "Twas the Evening of Christmas," you can read on Christmas Eve. All right. So my hope is that you take these home to your families and enjoy the book. Let's see, there was a few more things I wanted to share, and I just jumped. So the season of Advent is all about Mary and Joseph before Jesus was born, right? That's what Advent is. It's all about Mary and Joseph before Jesus was born. So I'm just going to take December 6th. I'm in the Advent book and read just one little part of it. Oops. It would help if I had the right book. I had flipped them around. There's December 4th. Can you find the 5th? You see, is that the 6th? All right. So let me read the poem part of it. And when God was ready, an angel flew down to a young girl named Mary in Nazareth town. But she'd never seen an angel or fairy or elf, and she gasped when she saw him in spite of herself. So Mary saw this big angel come down from heaven, and that's who told her. I'll tell you what the angel said. One more paragraph. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God is very pleased with you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king like his father David of long ago." And that's right out of the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 30 to 32. So the books also coincide right with our biblical verses. Okay, these books that you're going to get in a minute came from the Gertrude Lenz estate. Estate means she left money of books to be given to kids like you guys. You're going to have to share them with your family, get one set of books for the family to share. And this book will hopefully encourage you to share the story of Jesus with your families. These are really precious books, and they're books that I'm hoping that you guys will be able to pass down to your grandchildren in the future. Let's have John is going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll pass out the books. After we pass out the books, will you guys drop them off with your parents on the way back to Sunday school so they can stay nice? All right, thank you. All right, let's pray.
Okay, so if you'd all repeat after me, including you in the bigger kid section. Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
We thank you for those that take time to educate us.
We thank you for those that take time to educate us.
We especially today honor.
We especially today honor.
Those who take their own free time.
Those who take their own free time.
To help us learn about God and our faith.
To help us learn about God and our faith.
We are thankful for Ms. Lenz.
We are thankful for Ms. Lenz.
To present us with the gift of education.
To present us with the gift of education.
And we continue to ask.
And we continue to ask.
To watch over us all.
To watch over us all.
As we continue and grow.
As we continue and grow.
In Christ in our faith. Amen.
In Christ in our faith. Amen.
And for those of us who are left, if you would please rise if you're able, and let us join in singing God Be the Glory, page 66 in the hymnal. Please be seated.
Our Old Testament lesson today comes to us from Samuel 2, verses 8 through 18. "Hannah, why are you crying?" her husband Elkanah would say to her. "Why won't you eat? Why are you so sad? Aren't I worth more to you than 10 sons?" One time after eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah got up and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting in the chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. Hannah was very upset and couldn't stop crying as she prayed to the Lord. Then she made this promise: "Lord of heavenly forces, just look at your servant's pain and remember me. Don't forget your servant. Give her a boy. Then I'll give him to the Lord for his entire life. No razor will ever touch his head." As she kept praying before the Lord, Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but her voice was silent. So Eli thought she was drunk. "How long will you act like a drunk? Sober up," Eli told her. "No, sir," Hannah replied. "I'm just a very sad woman. I haven't had any wine or beer, but have been pouring out my heart to the Lord." "Don't think your servant is some good-for-nothing woman. This whole time I've been praying out of my great worry and trouble." Eli responded, "Then go in peace, and may the God of Israel give you what you've asked from him." "Please think well of me, your servant," Hannah said. Then the woman went on her way, ate some food, and wasn't sad any longer. Our New Testament lesson is from Mark 13, verses 1 through 11. The temple's fate. As Jesus left the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, what awesome stones and buildings." Jesus responded, "Do you see these enormous buildings? Not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives across from the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? What sign will show that all these things are about to come to an end?" "Keep watch," Jesus said. "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many people will come in my name saying, 'I'm the one.' They will deceive many people. When you hear of wars and reports of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must happen, but this isn't the end yet. Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other, and there will be earthquakes and famines in all sorts of places. These things are just the beginning of the sufferings associated with the end. Watch out for yourselves. People will hand you over to councils. You will be beaten in the synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings because of me, so that you can testify before them. First, the good news must be proclaimed to all the nations. When they haul you in and hand you over, don't worry ahead of time about what to answer or say. Instead, say whatever is given to you at that moment, for you aren't doing the speaking, but the Holy Spirit is." Here ends the reading, the word of God for the people of God. The hymn is 499, "He Leadeth Me."
He leadeth me. Isn't the word? Thank you.
You may be seated. And hopefully you'll figure out how perfect that hymn was for what we're going to hear. So if you'd allow me a moment of prayer. Dear gracious and understanding God, please have blessed the thoughts that I had that became words that I wish to share. Allow them to be the right words and the right thoughts so that those who hear them may be blessed in your way and have an understanding and a peace which you offer. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was talking to Deanne at the start of the service, and she brought up something that I had been thinking about. We use what's called a liturgical calendar. It's a calendar that basically gives preachers, I and Jacob, a guideline as to what scriptures and what Bible verses we should use. And the ones for November have been very interesting, both to the world, the community, and Christianity as it changes throughout the days. The first Sunday, love your neighbor, love God with your all. Last Sunday, don't be pompous, don't judge, be humble. And today, who are you going to follow? So, public service announcement. I want you to use your brain throughout this sermon. I'm going to need you to reflect, think, and to continue to think about some of the things we talk about today. And I'd like to imagine that you'll be thinking about what we talk about today for a while. God created us. And in that creation, we were allowed free will. The Creator decided he was not going to be a dictator and to completely control us. This allowed all of us to have a lot of opinions and beliefs. And maybe a drawback, maybe not. It has also allowed others the opportunity to affect those beliefs. In this day and age, we've got experts coming out of the woodwork. Individuals who want to lead us, to guide our lives according to their plan. There are, as the Don Henley song states, a lot of tin gods showing up. Tin gods. Well, you see, it's a shiny metal, it's not that strong, it's easy to make, and looks like silver, but really isn't silver. And you can have a bunch of tin things at home, tell people they're silver, and you can deceive them. So, who do you all, and who do I want to worship and follow? Our society has never had so much information available to it as it does today. With a flip of a switch, a touch of a screen, a pushing of a button, you can find out what's going on in countries on the other side of the world. Countries you may never have even heard of before. And it's filled with information. And most of the time, that information comes to us raw and unfiltered, leaving us to sort through it. We need to look for the real, the truth, and the understanding. Along with this information, there's a never-ending list of individuals who are willing to help you, to show you the correct way. In looking through the computer earlier this week, I found that migrants in Los Angeles are starting to create nuclear warheads. And that in Oklahoma, there is a mandate to publish and have it imprinted on a woman's womb, the Ten Commandments, so that the child raises up holy and right. And if you believe any of this, you have just been deceived. For the article I read was from The Onion, a satirical, a joke-making newspaper that originated in Madison to poke fun at the world around it. But yet, I have seen it quoted as factual in other reports. So yes, you need to look through these things. The writer of Mark shows us that these things have been going on forever. I mean, we're talking in Jesus' time. The verses said that Jesus said, many people will come in my name, saying, I am the one. They will deceive many people. When you hear of wars and reports of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must happen, but it's not the end yet. Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other, and there will be earthquakes and famines in all sorts of places. The writer continues to say, with the warning, each of us needs to watch out for ourselves. Remember what I told you earlier. You got to do some thinking, and you got to do some looking, because pretty much it's up to you. Mark goes on with, many will come to deceive us using Jesus' name. We've seen this many a time already, and I can imagine all of you have instances in your lives or readings that come to mind. The so-called religious zealots who promised you a better life if you gave them all your money, if you came and lived in their sealed community, if you allowed your family to be completely controlled, because if this person's the one, you don't have to think for yourself anymore. And then if things start falling apart and doesn't work out, you are to unalive yourself. Some of these people even claim that they were God. Some examples in this world of false gods, and that's God with a little g, that people bow down to and worship are fame, fortune, substances, and chemicals. Most of these little g gods are things that people feel will make them happy. But that happiness from these little gods won't last. In fact, it'll be replaced with a craving of wanting more and more. Does this all sound like what God is asking us to do, or what Jesus taught? Preying on emotions is what usually is used to manipulate individuals. These false teachers quite often use fear and sadness to convince us and others of their true way. When you're stressed, and stress can come in many ways, you go look for help or a cure-all. You want to feel better. You want to feel like your old self. And what better time for someone who wants to deceive to do their work and take advantage of you? Okay, that's the bad news. Now, how do we help ourselves? How do we figure out what we are doing and putting our faith in is real or a scam? Well, to start with, there's that old saying, and it works. If it's too good to be true, it probably isn't. No human alive can promise you a perfect life and to solve all your problems. You need to look to the Bible and see what if this person is claiming and stating is supported there. You have to ask questions. A faith you can believe in should not be scared to be questioned. Look at all the instances in the Bible where Jesus walked on this earth. He never shied away from a question. In fact, most of his teachings and sermons came because somebody asked a question. Do some investigating. Don't just take what that group is offering you at face value. Look to see what they're about, what their plan is, where their offerings, their charity, their givings are truly going. Listen to your head, heart, and soul. I had this strong belief that humankind, when they were created, have something inside themselves that helps them to recognize true faith of God. And I hope it's working at all times. When you look at someone who's claiming to be the one, ask, is this person claiming they are God? Because they can't be. Are the contributions going to benefit one? Or are they helping others to spread the word of God? Are the people that are following them separated from others? Completely taken away from the outside and their family? Is part of this belief system teaching you to hate, fear, and not trust others? Those that aren't like you, that have a different skin color, that have a different gender, that are older, that are younger. Why should we be separated from those? None of these things that I've listed are from a true faith in God. Yet, I'm sorry to say that there's people signing up every day to be part of certain ones of these groups. And just a little side note, the disciples had also asked when the end was coming and when will it happen. Jesus didn't really answer this. And we know in other verses from the Bible that no one is to know the specific time or place as to when he will come again. So you need to question that too. If the one you're following knows the end of time, claims to be Jesus returning, is that real? Another way to judge as to what your faith and who you're following is right is according to the Ligonier Teaching Fellowship. They write, the first thing to do is answer this question. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Those who have faith in Christ are given many assurances in the scripture. So the first thing to do is ask whether you have faith in Jesus Christ. The second stage, and there's a warning that this should be kept in order, is to answer this. Is your life beginning to exhibit a heart that has been turned and led by the Holy Spirit? Are you beginning to see evidence of the Spirit at work in you? By the Spirit, you're calling Jesus Christ Lord. And by the Spirit, you're beginning to be transformed into Christ's likeness. Those two must not be flipped around. The second level protects us from what is to make sure that faith we have is real in Christ and evidence of a transformed heart. Now, don't infer with what I'm saying is speaking against other faiths or traditions, saying they are false and trying to deceive. Just because a group, religion, denomination, uses a different method or goes through a different direction doesn't necessarily make them wrong. If they're teaching from the gospel and that Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and saved us from our sins, that we are saved through grace, then they're probably on the right trail and they're okay. So you need to decide. What do you want to believe in? Who do you want to follow? Where are you going to put your faith? I can't force you to answer any of these questions in any way. The answer that you have is in your heart. And fair warning, nobody said following God and being a Christian would be easy and without difficulties. In fact, in the reading today, Jesus told the disciples that were present with him that they could be taken, held in front of a group, and that you will be brought there because you believe in God. And Jesus continues to tell them that first the good news needs to be proclaimed to all the nations. Above all, spread your faith. We do not need to worry about what us to say at this time, because the Holy Spirit will give us the words. I believe Jesus is telling us that when we are questioned about our faith, we are to tell others of the hope, love, and peace that God gives us. And not be worried, because the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. Even if you talk awkwardly, your true Christianity will come out. But with just a little work, can you just think of the rewards that we'll be able to receive following a true God and not letting ourselves to be deceived? You see, with a true faith in a real Savior, you are to love God with your all, love your neighbor as yourself, help those who are in need and not as well off as you. Don't judge them. And you are to be Christ-like. These are signs of a follower of the true Savior and Creator. Don't be scared to let the world know what real, true, and honest faith is. Share what you have. Help them. Help spread the good news to all the nations. Thanks be to God. So, we come to a time of sharing. Sharing with each other and sharing with God through prayer. So I want you all to take a deep breath, let it out, and take a moment or so to let God know what's in your head and in your heart, but you really don't wish to vocalize at this time. Let's have a moment of sharing. In Jesus' name, amen. We now come to a time of sharing our joys and concerns, things that are bothering us, things that we're happy about. And when some of those come forward, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and I ask you to respond with, hear our prayer. Anybody have anything to share? Okay. Lord, I ask you to watch over the Wallendals and help them as their life changes through this calamity. I also thank you, Lord, for the great giveness and gratitude and sharing of gifts that this church has done. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Lord, I ask that you watch over Pastor Jacob in his travels. Allow him to return to us refreshed, strong, and with a willing to proclaim God's love to us. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Anything else popping in anybody's mind? Okay. Alana, anything from the... Okay. So let us continue with prayer then. Dear God, we come before you with grateful hearts, seeking your presence and guidance. We pray for your wisdom and strength as we navigate the challenges of our lives. Fill us with your peace and compassion, that we may be a source of comfort and hope to all around us. We lift up to you those who are suffering, those who are in need, and those who are facing difficult times. Surround them with your love and provide for their needs. We pray for healing and restoration for those who are sick or hurting. Particularly, we pray for those who are on our prayer list. We also ask that you comfort and give strength to those who are grieving. We pray for your guidance in communities and in our world. Lead us toward justice, equality, and understanding. May we work together to build a world that reflects your love and compassion. We thank you for your presence in our lives and for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We offer ourselves to you, asking you to use us for your work. Hear us, O Lord, as together we continue to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us all to say, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Give those
and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we come to a time to share your time, your treasures, your talents, or prayers that you have for the church universal. Giving back to God is a sign of our faith, allowing what we give to be used by God in spreading the good news of what God offers to us all. The ushers will now come forward to accept your offering. Please rise. And if we'd share in the prayer of dedication, we thank you for the abundance of the gifts you have bestowed upon us. As we receive these gifts, may we do so with grateful hearts and open hands. Help us to recognize the love and generosity behind each offering. May the gifts we offer be used to further your kingdom and bless those in need. Guide us to use them wisely and in accordance with your will. May they be a source of joy, hope, and inspiration. Amen. Our last hymn is 550, We Are the Church. A nice guide and direction, huh? It's not this wooden place. It's not the guy or gal standing up here. It's not the people on the committee. But it's all of us who are the church. And I pray that as you discuss and think about what your faith and who you believe in, you choose the true faith through God. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord's face shine upon us. And may God look down into our face. And when he sees us, may God smile. And may we be granted peace, understanding, joy, and love. For these are things that this world needs and that humankind grows with. In Jesus' name, amen.